Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 105, Challenge Caches. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Monty Ryder.
If you want to participate on our show tonight, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners, and that can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. We have a voicemail line, which can be found at 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. Well, Montu, Daryl, it's another episode. It's 105. Welcome back. Montu, how have you been?
Pretty good. Had a busy weekend this past weekend. Did a tiny bit with the trains, but mostly this past Saturday was our youth group Pathfinders Award Ceremony for all the work they've done this past school year. So I spent the greater part of Saturday afternoon working on the doing the final work on the year in review slideshow, and then we had the award ceremony itself, followed by a fundraiser Saturday night. Then Sunday, pretty much just too tired to do much of anything, so went out up to Cruise Lake and picked a couple spots for some caches, because when we held Joe's surprise party a week ago, a lot of the caches liked the idea of caching by train, so I'm finding a couple spots to get some other caches set up along the trail, the rail line. Daryl, how about you?
Oh, well, we had a pretty interesting weekend. Went out along the St. Clair River shoreline of Michigan, which was pretty much a full-day trip, but we went specifically to get four virtual caches that are along that trip. As I mentioned last week, we're really trying to get as many virtual caches as we can this summer. After we found those, we're at 75, and we're really looking to hit, you know, no less than 100 total finds on just virtual caches by the end of the summer. So, you know, not that that's a significant goal or anything, just we really want to hit at least 100 virtual caches by the end of the summer. If we get more, you know, we'd be thrilled. But the other big thing that I did was actually test out the GeoMate Junior, and it was pretty cool. We missed about half of them from the pre-populated database, and we'll get into that a little bit more next week. But the other really neat thing is when we were out there, we came across one of the most interesting hide jobs that we've seen in quite a long time, and it was at a museum, obviously done by museum staff or volunteers, where they had this porch around what used to be a customs house, and the cache was actually a standard ammo can hidden underneath that, but the only way to access it was to lift a board, and the trick was that this board was hinged so that you had to, you know, move a couple of things around and then just tip the board up and you retrieve the cache. So it was a very interesting hide. Unfortunately, I wasn't thinking enough to grab some photos to post on the website, but very cool and kind of demonstrates what you can do if you have the run of the place with some very interesting camo. Andy, what have you been up to?
Well, my sister-in-law graduated from Purdue this last weekend. She actually graduated with two majors, two separate schools at Purdue graduated with two majors. So that was really cool. So we were there this weekend, and the ceremony was actually really cool. However, we didn't get any chance to go caching because that took up a lot of our weekend and just you know, spending a lot of time with my sister-in-law. But we didn't get to do that. But I've been doing a lot of just prep work for our next week. We're doing a cache run. We're going to go down to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we're going to try and hit at least 75. Although Daryl told me before the show that you hit your highest is 104, correct?
Yeah, 104. So you got to try to break that.
So now he just raised the level. I will be reporting some. I'll call into our voicemail line, of course, because that's me. Or I may take the Adderall out with me. But hey, you'll get to hear some of that next week. And like Daryl said, we also next week are going to I'm prepping also to do an interview with the people who created GeoMate Junior. So we'll be talking about that a little bit next week. Be ready for that. Now, Montu, I hear there's a couple different things in the news. Can you tell us about one?
Yeah, CacheMate for Google Android is now available in Google's Android market. They say that full use of the platform's potential is still being worked out, in particular maps, camera, and voice recorder. But in the meantime, it's functional and does most of what the current Windows Mobile versions can do. CacheMate for Google Android will be $10 and requires Android 1.1 or better. Website address will be in the show notes.
Now, also, Jeremy Irish had posted a note on Twitter about a movie that will be screening at Geo Woodstock in just a few days. The Splinterhead movie has their geocaching teaser trailer on YouTube at youtube.com/splinterheadsmovie. They also have a website at splinterheadsthemovie.com, and it looks like it could be an interesting movie, not about geocaching, but involving geocaching. So you can check those out from the links in the website.
Thanks, Daryl Montu. The topic tonight we're going to be talking about is challenge caches. A challenge cache requires geocachers to complete certain tasks. Example, to find other geocaches meeting certain requirements before that they can log it. Typically, geocachers must send an email to the challenge cache owner providing evidence that they had actually completed the task and its requirements, and the cache owner replies with the coordinates of the cache. And that's directly from cachepedia.com. Now, we have had one of our listeners call in when he is trying to find completing the last couple stages of the Cache Across America cache. So let's go ahead and listen to his first one while he's at the first cache that he has to do before the finish.
Hey, geocaching podcasters. This is Web Scouter from Kansas City, and I'm on a quest today to finish up my favorite challenge cache of all. I'm standing in front of Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and have just found the Cache Across America cache for the state of Wisconsin. I now have the X coordinates, the north coordinates, for the final location. Tomorrow I'm going to be flying to Vermont, where I will find my final cache. Hope to call you from there tomorrow, but just want to let you know that I have found the 49th cache in the Cache Across America series. Talk to you later. Bye.
Now, Daryl, there are several well-known caches, and the first one we're going to talk about is the Cache Across America series, which we just mentioned there. And it's basically you have to get a certain cache in each state that you need to hit. There's a certain Cache Across America cache in each state that you need to get in order to get the coordinates to the final. The final is actually at GC12E0B, and there's also a bookmark list that we'll link to that has all of the caches in it. Now, Daryl, we're not obviously going to hit all of the challenge caches because there are several, but what's the next type that we can look for?
Yeah, another one that's pretty well known is the 555 Club, which is GC1D7QT. And the whole point of this cache is to log 55 five-star caches. Now, this is a cache out in California, and I wouldn't doubt that there's some other similar caches in your neck of the woods. So if you want to check, you know, take a look for something like five-star in the keyword, and you might turn something up.
Now, Montu, do you want to tell us a little bit about the alphabet soup cache?
Find a cache name that's starting with each letter of the alphabet. Now this one will be pretty much an easy one, considering it should be pretty easy to go through and find caches starting with each letter, although some letters will be harder than others to locate.
And that cache, specific cache, is GC1EQH9. Now, the next challenge cache is going to be the Fizzy challenge cache, and that's basically a find in each of the terrain and difficulty rating combination. So you'll have a cache in 1-1, 1-2, you know, those type of things. You'll have to find each one of those things, and you have to find each one of those caches. And those caches are going to be in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. And it's named after a specific person that they were honoring, Fizzy Magic, and when they created that cache. And there are several different variations for this, but you know, you may have a Fizzy Challenge cache in your local area, but that's the kind of cache, another kind of challenge cache.
Yeah, and that's also known quite frequently as the Well-Rounded Cacher Challenge. Same basic thing. And in most cases, you also have to find one of each type of cache. So you need to have found a virtual cache, a CETO, a mega event, all that kind of stuff as well. Another one that we want to talk about, though, is probably one of the more well-known ones, the DeLorme Challenge. And we'll have a link to the Cachepedia page in the show notes so that you can look up more about it. But the basic concept is you have to take the DeLorme Atlas for whatever that given region is, usually it's a state, and find a cache on each page of that book. So it's not like a county challenge or a lot of those other challenges that you might be familiar with based on geography. This one is a little different because that book is broken down differently than you might expect. The boundaries are a little bit weird on a lot of those. But this is only for caches in the U.S.
Now, let's move on to the second voicemail from WebScouter. He called from his next to final cache.
Hey, geocaching podcasters. This is WebScouter from Kansas City, Missouri. And as promised, I am standing in beautiful Vermont on a gorgeous spring day and standing at the site of the final cache across America. Just a quick background, on June 15th of 2006, the Blue Power Rangers made a note on the forums that he thought it'd be fun to have a challenge cache where you had to find a cache in all 50 states. And very rapidly, he had participants in his scheme. The first cache in that series was placed on June 30th of 2006. And on August 6th of that same year, I found my very first cache across America in the state of Kansas, close to my home. So some 3 years later, just about, I am standing at the site of a former DNF. Last time I was here, it was November, and I was knee-deep in snow. And I am standing looking at the cache, which is exactly where I thought it would be, only about 5 feet below the level I was able to look at it before. So I have now found all 50 caches in the Cache Across America series and will be driving down towards Washington, D.C. to find the final on Sunday. So I hope to update you on Sunday and let you know how I did. Thanks.
Well, thank you, WebScouter. Now, are we going to take bets? Do we think WebScouter found the last cache? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see here. First, next part we're going to talk about here is there are definitely several different types of tools that you can use to keep track of your cache finds and things like that. Montu, what's the first one we want to talk about?
Oh, first one is a nice little website called It's Not About the Numbers .com. It's all one word. It has a section for the Cache Across America Challenge and can also be quite useful for doing the Fizzy Challenge or Well-Rounded Cacher Challenge. It's really a very interesting site to help generate your stats so you can see where you stand as far as the rest of the caches in your area if you're really wanting to do the numbers thing. It can really help you out quite a bit. Daryl?
Well, actually, GSEC is a really good tool for that as well, and that will have some special macros that you can use to do specific challenges, like if you're looking for a DeLorme challenge or the Cache Across America or even the Fizzy challenge, there's usually a macro that will help process your found list and figure out what caches you have to satisfy those requirements. Now, it should also be noted that GroundSpeak does now require that if you have specific caches that you, specific types of caches for these challenge caches that you have to find, that it be posted on a public geocaching.com page. So that would include a bookmark list or posting it to your profile. So if you're a premium member, you can just mark it, link to it as your, as fulfilling your requirements. Or if you have a non-premium account, you can put that on your profile page, in which case you'd have to do the HTML and do the links and everything else to that.
Yeah, and GSEC is a pretty big thing. We've talked about it before, and we may touch upon it again here in the future. But there are, so many things you can do with it, and it's one of those things that when you first get into it, it's quite daunting of a task. You open it up and you're like, there is a lot of stuff here, but it is one of those things that's very, very powerful. Flag Mountain Hikers in our chat room says GSEC is your friend. If you can dance with it enough to learn its moves, it's very, very, very powerful. There's so many different things you can do and so many people writing different macros for it. And that again is at gsak.net. Very well, good program for those type of things. That's just my little plug for it. I love it and use it for everything that I do. Okay, so do we think that WebScouter found the final cache? Here we go.
Hey, podcasters, this is WebScouter from Kansas City. Just reporting on my third call of this weekend on my quest to find the cache across America. I'm standing in a beautiful park in Washington, D.C., and I have located and signed my name onto the final. It's been 3 years since I started looking for this and almost 2 years since the last year found it. So I'm pleased to say that I was successful on all three hunts this weekend and have now completed the Cache Across America series. Looking for my next challenge. And so if any of you've got it, don't let me know, because I'm always looking for something to do, some caches to find that'll take me to some wonderful places. So appreciate everybody that's hidden caches, and just glad to have this one completed. It's been a long haul, but I've enjoyed every minute. Guys, have a good weekend. Hope to find you or see you on the caching trails.
So he found it. Congratulations, WebScouter. If you want to give us a call right now, I see that you're in our chat room. Our phone number is 724-444-7444, and our talk cast is 7525. Go ahead and give us a call. I've got a few more questions here for you. But in the meantime, has anyone else found any challenge caches they want to talk about before we close here?
One of the other things we should probably mention about the challenge caches is that you do have to email the cache owner. They have to go through the validation, so don't expect to usually get the final coordinates like right away. You know, if you have to go somewhere to find the final, plan on having to go there after you get that email. Don't plan on going there, waiting for the email, and expecting to find the cache. So, little tip, it will usually take a couple of days.
And also, those of you who have listened to our additional logging requirements podcast a few weeks ago, this doesn't really fall under that, because it you usually end up putting them as mystery caches. They have to be mystery caches, so they can have additional logging requirements type of thing. So they're a little bit different. If you're going to plan on doing a challenge cache or placing a challenge cache, definitely, I would first contact your reviewer just to make sure that they're going to approve it, but also then plan to make it as a mystery cache.
And the other thing about that, too, you do have to demonstrate now, in some cases, that it is a challenge that most cachers, or a significant number of cachers would be able to complete. They've had some of these challenge series that were really, really rough and I guess got some heat about it, so they now have that requirement that you demonstrate a significant number of cachers can complete the challenge. Now, Andy, have you actually attempted any of the challenges?
I actually have not, and I was thinking, I've looked at the Cache Across America ones. I didn't get them because it's not, as far as I remember, the cache in Indiana is not real close to me, and I don't do a whole lot of traveling, so as far as the Cache Across America one, it's not really going to do very much for me, because it would take me years upon years upon years upon years to finish it. So for that one, I haven't tried any of those, that one. I haven't tried actually any. I haven't gone out for them per se. I mean, I've looked and saw the different DeLorme pages that I could count on in it for Indiana, but I've never actually completed it. It's something that I would like to do, but again, I don't get it traveling enough that for me to get all of the DeLorme challenge caches, it's going to take me forever to do. It's something I find interesting, though, and I'd like to do it. How about yourself, Daryl?
Well, I really kind of am drawn more to the geographic ones, just for the appeal of having said that I've gone to all of these different places and seen them. But I really don't try for them. You know, we're kind of in that mode of trying for the county challenge and hoping that in the process we can satisfy something like a DeLorme challenge as well. But we're really right now kind of trying to get more our personal goals. And then if we happen to satisfy the requirements for a challenge cache, okay, cool. We've done that too.
And I would ask Montu, but he had to unfortunately go from us early tonight. His kids were being kind of loud, so he decided to jump off the call. So with that, though, guys, if you have any other comments, questions, concerns, definitely feel free to give us a call. Our number is 206-3503 GPS. That's our voicemail line. You can give us a call anytime to do that. You know, we'd love to hear from our listeners. Thank you again, Web Scouter, for calling in for this challenge cache. Join us each Tuesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and all of our past show links can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. You can call our voicemail line, and that number is 206-350-3GPS anytime, and leave us a voicemail. Have a great week, and happy caching.